Blog Talk Radio.
That was Rocks and Rainbows by Gitta Milan. And this evening we're having a little bit of a surprising Sunday. We're not really going to do much on the reading steps this evening. We're just going to kind of talk topics tonight. Everything from, I don't know, ETs and chemtrails and our health, mushrooms, what we eat, GMOs, it's like you name it. We're going to do a whole bunch of stuff. A little bit of a reminder here. Let's see, tonight, yes, of course, we are on at 9 p.m. Eastern, which is different times in different time zones. It's like sun's still out where I'm at, which is all right. Tomorrow, Jethro and Bonnie Alvers and Gary Wimmer are on at 3 p.m. Eastern time. And as always, that's 773-897-6461. Tuesday is Musical Pamela. Wednesday, and she's on Tuesdays on at 3 o'clock in the afternoon on Eastern Time. Wednesdays is our evening show at 9 p.m. and I believe it's Amy, and I'm not sure who else. I believe she might have a new guest on this coming Wednesday. Thursday, of course, is Jethro and Dina at 9 p.m. Eastern, and then of course Friday is Georgia Marantos, and Angela Bixby is on vacation for I believe the month of August, but Georgia has got different guests coming on too. And then we're back to Saturday, and we'll see what happens next Saturday. But tonight we have a a mystery guest, and I'll let her introduce yourself, herself. I'm sure that most of you guys know who she is and what she does. So, our mystery lady, will you give us a little bit about yourself this evening?
Oh, I sure will. I've been involved in the paranormal, metaphysical, and spiritual my whole life. My parents raised me from day one to understand that that was normal, despite what everyone else would say about it. And I work with ETLetstalk.org, and we actually get monthly global meetings on the Star Family. And we're just having a great time with it. I'm also on Unseen World radio show, and I've got a couple other channels going at the same time. And in case you haven't figured out who I am by now, I'm Linda Irwin. Hello, everyone.
Hello. Oh, and this was truly a surprise, mostly for Linda. Yeah, it's like I called her literally about a minute before show and said, hello, we need a guest. It's like, can you come on with us? So she was very gracious to give us some of her time this evening so we can just kind of discuss some different topics. And, you know, I'm just going to kind of throw it out to you, Linda. What would you like to talk about? I mean, there's, you know, we have so many things, so many options. It's like, what would you like to be discussing on this evening?
Well, I think what you have in the description fits perfectly. Let's talk about the Star Family and chemtrails and all the stuff that's going on and how the Star Family is trying to open our eyes and make us aware and how they're trying to get us to take responsibility for ourselves and our planet. So I think
That's
a great thing to talk about.
Me too. It's really been interesting. I don't know. I don't know what it looks like, you know, kind of down there, or I should say up in your area. I know down here, it's like every now and then, you know, we get those really funny, I'll say, cross trails in the sky. You know, we have those planes, you know, flying back and forth, and they leave these things that don't seem to dissolve in the atmosphere very well. And I've come to realize that, you know, those we used to, when I was little, we called those condensation trails. And, of course, we know today they're not condensation trails. They are, of course, chemical trails, but... What kind of stuff do they put in them? I mean, I know I've read a little bit here and there. I know there was some aluminum, and that certainly, you know, when they do that, it affects the ground. It affects the plants. It affects, you know, what, you know, like in this farming area, we have, you know, a lot of growth, a lot of agriculture, and certainly things like that affect when there's excessive aluminum in the soil. It affects the crops that are grown. And, of course, then they've shown that the crops that come out of heavily aluminized soil have extra aluminum in them. Of course, aluminum is bad for us, type of thing. So,
right.
And I know there's a couple other things. I can't remember the names of them. All I remember is some of the things that they cause. They're responsible for things like autism, for, I think, fibromyalgia. It's like, you know, do you remember some of the other stuff just kind of off the top of your head, you know, that those other chemicals and things actually cause? Because I know that every time we get chemtrailed, a bunch of people get sick. And I've been to several funerals, you know, or we've known several people who have passed on to the other side this summer. There's been lots of funerals going on around here.
Yes, indeed. In fact, the government, from what I understand, this has now been hushed up. But the government had up in Moscow, our state, but farther north of me, the city of Moscow in May, they staged an emergency exercise and called it the Zombie Apocalypse.
The zombie apocalypse.
And what they did was, yes, they made it look like some virus had taken over the population and turned them into zombies. And how would the military and the medical institution handle this?
Oh, wow.
It was very hush-hush. But what it is for people that get infected by this stuff, then how would they handle it?
Right.
Planned obsolescence of the human race.
Yeah, I've read that on the Georgia Stones. I mean, I've seen pictures of that. I don't know where those are located, but I have heard about that, where there's this, you know, kind of plan to reduce the population of the planet, not just our country, but of the planet, from like what? I don't even know what the population is. 6, 7, 8 billion people. We've got several.
We're about seven billion.
About 7 billion people. Yeah, and. Whoever the powers that be somewhere, want to reduce that number to about 500 million people. So that's a lot of A lot of sickness, a lot of illness, a lot of, you know, I mean, is that some of the stuff that's going on, you know, with the GMOs and, you know, that kind of stuff? And of course, that's what I don't understand is, you know, we're supposed to be, as the United States, we're supposed to be, you know, a more advanced country, but yet some of the countries who are not quite, quote, as advanced as we are have outlawed those things. So, you know, what is that, just politics? What is that about?
It's money, too. Big money.
Big money.
This, the big ones want to stay in power. They don't want us little ones to know more than they know, to do more than they do.
Right.
Definitely, it's the 1% controlling the 99%.
Wow.
It's very sad.
So how is the Star family? I gotta say, so how is the Star family helping us out in doing better? It's like, what kind of stuff, you know, can people look for in terms of our Star Brothers helping us out? It's like, what are they trying to get us to do in terms of, you know, helping ourselves?
Basically, we have to be aware. We have to be awake and aware. And being aware simply means to understand what is being done to us and to take back our power. The Star Family is letting us know that we are all one. We are one consciousness divided into fragments for the purpose of experience. And some people are having not such a good experience by being in power. And unfortunately, when they get to the other side, they're going to have a lot of stuff to look back on and go, uh-oh, did I really do all that? I may have to do another lifetime and try to set it right. But those of us that are becoming awake and aware are also understanding that there's more out there than just the sky and the planets. There's actually living beings on other worlds. And when you start to see outside of yourself and outside of your planet, and you gain a new appreciation for everyone else that is out there, then you can gain more appreciation for who you are and how you relate to with each other on this planet. You learn about love, light, and peace. You learn about respect.
Right.
You learn about your inherent integrity. And your inherent integrity says, I am not going to allow anyone else to give me a bad time or do harm to me, because I have a right to exist. I am equal with everyone else. And so that's where we're going. We've got to reverse what's going on, and the only way we can do that is numbers. Numbers of people waking up. So.
Yeah, I was going to say, now how, you know, it's like, how do they awaken? I mean, I'm thinking back to, you know, like the Dune, what was it, the 1980s version of Dune, something like that. Man, back when I was like late high school, early college years, the only one I remember is Patrick Stewart starred as Gurney Halleck, and it's like I don't remember some of the other, you know, but that's what I think of as classic Dune, and the actor who played Paul Atreides, you know, was like one of the things that came out was let the sleeper awaken. It's like is that kind of where we're at? I mean, you know, we haven't turned into a desert planet yet. You know, we don't run
yet.
On spice, so to speak. We're not running on spice. We're running on oil. You know. But you know, it's like how do we wake the population up? How do we wake people up? How do we get? And maybe what I should ask is, because I have seen a lot of stuff, a lot of people calling in. Ever since that December 3rd, remember that planetary alignment that happened December 3rd of 2012? That, you know, it was Mercury, Venus, and Saturn aligned over the pyramids of Giza. And, you know, there's a lot of speculation. Is there any word, you know, what exactly opened? It's like I heard there was some kind of either portal or vortex or, you know, something opened. But what was it that opened? Because there's been a lot of people, you know, like I said, called into our show and go, you know, I've never been spiritual before. What do I do now? You know, it's like, okay, something is happening somewhere. So, you know, so what exactly, I mean, do you have any idea what exactly was it that opened? I've been trying
to
find that out.
The energy portals of the Earth made connection with the main systems that are out there right now. Last year in May, it started with our connection on the annular solar eclipse. We aligned with the Pleiades. Globally, more than 144,000 light workers joined together in meditation in order to help bring the energy, the light, down from the Pleiades into the Earth to help drive out the darkness. And it's just been one progression of things after another. The alignment over the pyramids was a very powerful one, because that is where one of the main centers, where Atlanteans fled to Egypt after Atlantis fell. Those pyramids were put in place so that we would never forget. They are powerful energy portals in themselves. And when that became infused, the central sun infused those planets, which in turn infused those pyramids, it opened everything up even more. Each little step we take, each little thing that happens astrologically, brings more people to awareness. And that is our star family that's helping with that. They are making it known to us through reliable channelers. And I say reliable here because there's a lot of stuff out on the net that isn't. You have to know your own intuition and be aware of yourself enough to be able to determine what resonates and what does not.
Right. Right. That was my next question. Was like, you know, if somebody's new to this, it's like, you know, and they're, you know, kind of think of the babe in the woods moment. It's like, you know, how, you know, are there any flags? Are there any signs? Are there any, you know, how can people discern what is, I'll say, you know, what's real and what's Memorex, you know, how do they discern what's real and what's happening versus, what do they call them, the disinformants? Because I know there's a lot of disinformation going on, as well as real stuff out there. So how do people really, you know, how do they discern? How, you know, if you're new to this, it's like, you know, they can, you know, read something, it's like, and if they're not real familiar with it, they could really be taken in. So how, you know, what are some earmarks? What are some flags? What are some, you know, things that they need to look for and say, you know, this is real, this is not real? And so, you know, is there kind of a guideline, you know, kind of think like the buoy markers in, you know, in a, you know, ocean channel or something?
Sure.
It's like, what can people really look for, you know?
I sure do. Number one, does it empower you without putting anyone else at risk? A lot of them are going through the dark websites and hearing how they can be the powerful person, intuitive, know everything, but it's asking you to control. There is a video on YouTube right now that's called Opening Your Third Eye, but about 2 minutes into it, it tells how to mind control people with the third eye. And I have been out there telling people, do not watch this. I am not for this at all. So empower yourself, but it must be able to empower others as well, not control them or put them down. Okay. Number two, does it make promises that seem unrealistic? I see all these channelings about healing chambers. You know, come join the Ashtar Command and we will put you in a healing chamber and make you young and healthy again if you do this. Okay. And there's always conditions on these channels too. If you do this, we will promise you that. And I have yet to meet anyone that's been in the traditional healing chamber. I work over there in the astral realm, and they don't do that there. They might run lights over you or something like that, or counsel you or walk you through a situation in your dream time. But I've never seen them seal you up in a chamber and leave you there in cryostasis till you're done. You know, ding, it's done, take it out now.
It's like a microwave. Wow.
And timelines, you know, they don't deal with time as we know it. It's just like the people on the other side don't experience time as we know it. If they say the cabal is going to fall at noon on Tuesday, don't believe it. It's not going to happen.
The cabal is going to fall.
Those are the main things. at noon. So set your alarm and watch out your window because...
Is that like the skies? Okay, I'm going to ask one of those ridiculous questions because I know somebody's going to come back and ask us and say, because we've had some new ones. What exactly is the Kabbalah?
Okay,
of course, we know it's not the New York Times Kabbalah. Yes, we know.
No, but it's close. It's referred to anyone that's in a power position, whether it's religious, financial, or political. It is the ones who are the decision makers for all of those arenas. They are the people who are looking after their own best interests, and this is why people have to learn how to take their abilities back. Many, 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 many millennia ago, it all started when they started structuring according to hierarchies. The hierarchies came into play, and those in the highest power did not want the lower echelons to have an advantage over them. So they told them, do not communicate with Star Family. Do not communicate with those who have crossed over. Don't use your intuition on anything. It is evil. We'll even write text to indicate that it's evil so you don't forget. And if you cross that line, you may lose your life. So for generations and generations, it weeded out. We stop using it. If you don't use it, you lose it. Well, you don't really lose it, but you just can't use it very easily.
Right. Kind of now, like going to the gym. If you go to the gym on a regular basis and work out, you know, it's like you get strong, your body's good, and it's like, so it's kind of like our intuition and intuitive stuff, right? It's like if we meditate, if we, you know, exercise on a regular basis, we do a lot better, yes?
Yes, exactly. And practicing your abilities, your mediumship abilities, your healing abilities, all of those things that you were told were evil, and not in just in this lifetime, but in lifetimes past. Practice those. They're your inherent right. They're part of your inherent integrity. As long as you're using them for the highest good, then you're doing right by them. You're doing to love people, to help people, to heal people. You should not have to temper it.
Right.
This is part of the awakening. Knowing who we are. We're all part of Source. God, Allah, whatever you want to call it. We're all part of that. We recognize that when we go back to the other side, but then when we come back to this life, we agree to go by the rules. Well, maybe it's not time for the rules anymore.
We come back to this side, and it's like, I'm in the Baskin-Robbins ice cream shop of life. It's like, okay, and I do. I refer to that because I go, okay, you know, you have Baptists, you have atheists, you have agnostics, you know, all the way to, you know, the Zen Buddhists. And it's like, okay, we have Baskin-Robbins. They have over 100-something flavors. So it's like, you know, you're in the ice cream shop of life. Pick your flavor. What do you want to do? But it's all ice cream. It's got a little bit different tint to it.
Right. Yeah, what if you wanted something else? What if you wanted a burger or, you know, some fries, whatever?
Yeah.
There's so much else out there. Ice cream sandwich, there's a good...
Exactly, yeah, I was about to say, yeah, there you go.
Best of both worlds, right?
Oh, yeah, not kidding. Wow. You know, and there's another question that's kind of been going out there. We've been hearing a lot of this, too. Is people who talk about, you know, energy vampires or people who, you know, quote, suck off of other people's energies. Like, you know, and it's like, you know, those people you get around and after you run them for a while, you just feel drained and you have to go, like, you know, take a 3-day nap to recover, you know, that kind of stuff. So in terms of, you know, I'll say light and dark, you know, in terms of what we've been talking about, you know, flag markers, you know, how to identify stuff. Is that an identifying marker? You know, it's like, or how can you identify somebody before you get drained?
I'm not sure if our people know about muscle testing. This is a great way to identify. Muscle testing is simply that you relax your body and you agree to a certain reaction to answer a certain question. A lot of people choose to, if the answer is yes to the question I'm asking, to be slightly moved forward. If it's no, slightly backward. And you start out by asking the question like, an obvious name. Is my name Linda Irwin? And if the muscle testing is working right, it will move me forward just a little, and it just did. Now, you do that with
so
people,
too. How do you do this? I was going to say, how do you do muscle testing? What do you press? What do you do? How do you sit? You know, how do you do that?
You don't do anything. You stand and relax. You can relax your muscles, and then your body will know instinctively whether it's a yes or no answer. Your brain doesn't tell you everything consciously, but it will tell everything in your body. This is how psychic healing works. It goes through your body on a subconscious level. But you're standing there and you're asking the question. You think of somebody that might be draining you. Think of the most obvious person first. And if you move forward a little bit on the yes, then it's a good indication that you need to cut the ties and shield yourself. Now, by cutting the ties, you're not cutting your entire relationship with them. You're just cutting off their drain on you. So what you do to cut the ties, or this is how I've always done it. There are many, many methods you can check out. But I actually envision scissors. I envision the person, and I envision that they are connected to me, maybe with a chain, maybe with a rope. And I take those imaginary scissors and I snip and cut whatever is holding us together, because it's a one-way thing. They're drawing off you. You're not drawing off them. It's not good for you. Let it go. And then immediately shield yourself with the white light or the violet flame. I've recently learned the violet flame is an excellent way to help shield yourself. You can combine that. Take the white light of protection, healing, bring it up through the core of your being, out over the crown chakra, allow it to spill over you, completely wrapping you, going down below your feet into the ground and anchoring into Mother Earth. To that, you can add the violet flame as well. That burns off any residue that maybe didn't get picked up by just the shielding.
So it kind of looks like
Archangel Michael too.
Visualize a giant egg. I was going to say, basically, you know, if we're giving people a visual, it's kind of like putting yourself in a giant egg, right?
Yes, or like a fountain that solidifies.
Okay.
Like being in the center of a fountain and it solidifies. It will still allow the good to go through, but it will keep the negative out. If you want to think of it like this, you have a screen on your door, and maybe a very, very tiny little gnat can get through, but nothing bigger. So the grid is very fine and gentle and very highly vibrational, so it's not dense. It will get through. The denser stuff will not.
Gotcha. Oh, that's kind of nice. Now, I have heard about, you know, what some people use, what they call the golden net. Have you heard anything about that, or know anything about, you know,
I'm familiar with the golden lint brush to cleanse, but not the net.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I'm kind of drawing on memory here and thinking, you know, thinking back about different questions one of asked us. And I'm sure you've had some questions too. So what are some of the questions that, you know, people ask you? Because I'm sure you've probably experienced this phenomena too of, you know, people calling in going, man, you know, it's like, what's going on, you know, with the planet? It's like, you know, how do I deal with this? What do I do? You know?
Well, most of the questions I get are based on their new experiences and their new types of connections and communications. Now, the most common one lately deals with our ear chakras. And you might be laying there at night. Yeah, you have chakras in your ears.
That's a new one. I'm going to have to check that one out. You know I am.
So you might be laying there at night, right? And you start hearing something that sounds like a distant radio or television, but you don't have anything on anywhere around you.
Right.
So what you have to do to hear what they're saying.
That's happened for years. It's like I've had people like voices, people standing right beside me talking out loud. And it's like I've bolted straight upright and going, I know there's nobody physically there, not in this dimension. It's okay.
Well, they follow you into stores too, don't they, Kelly?
They follow you everywhere, man. It's like they're better than American Express. They're everywhere you want to be. Sometimes they're everywhere you don't want them to be, too.
Well, they're probably trying to help you pick out something they want.
I'm sure.
No, get that flavor.
Yeah, dial into this frequency. It's like, we want you to hear this. It's like, can I sleep now? You just kept me up for another 2 hours. Please, can I sleep? It's like after I calm down and go, where did that come from? Because that was right in my house and everything's locked. And it wasn't my kids because they're asleep.
Right.
And I know,
so if you
and
can't
I know my
explain
cat's
it, it's them.
Exactly.
But you can train yourself to hear messages better if you're not hearing them well. And all you do is concentrate on what white noise is going on around you. Electronic hum, maybe a clock ticking, cars going by outside. If you can identify those distracting noises, you can mentally block them out. You can mark them as not important. And that way you can start to tune in and concentrate and hear and understand what it is they're saying to you. And I've had some amazing conversations in the last year. And you can do it two ways. You can either speak to them out loud or just with your mind, because they understand what it is you're thinking. They're on that higher vibrational level, so they can easily pick up what you're thinking, just like our loved ones on the other side do. They're in that dimension too.
Right.
Other things
wow.
like dancing lights and moving shadows and orbs and things that you see out the corner of your eye. Yes,
right.
sometimes
yeah.
that's loved ones on the other side. Sometimes that's them. So you have to begin
yeah.
to discern who it is. Me, I get yes and no questions answered in my home. If I
oh,
am
wow.
on to something and it's a yes, I'll hear a pop right near me that could not have been
oh,
made
wow.
by anything physical.
Right.
So
well,
honor those
no.
brief glimpses.
And if it's a no, does it sound like one of those, you know, wah, you know, what's your no sound?
No, it just doesn't do anything.
Oh, it doesn't do anything?
There's
oh, okay.
no sound at all.
Oh.
They only
so, yes,
acknowledge
you get
the positive, not the negative.
Okay, all right. So it's not like the traffic light, you know, because I've heard people use that, you know, it's like, oh, we can say, you know, green light, yellow light, you know, red light. I'm going, okay. That's interesting.
Nope. They will acknowledge a yes. If it's a no or a maybe, keep trying till you get the yes. Because
okay, okay.
they just won't do anything.
Right.
And they will affect
so,
your electronics, your phones, your computers, everything. Sometimes they can even affect your television, your smoke alarm. I had to go to the dentist last month, and I was sitting
oh, wow.
in there, okay, Star Family, where are you guys? All of a sudden, all of the smoke detectors in the reception area started going off, and they had drained
oh,
the
God.
Batteries.
Oh, God. Did they get them shut off? No.
They had to take them down, change the batteries.
Oh, wow.
I'm just
said,
sitting there
here.
Looking, all innocent, you know, like I have no idea what's going on, but I knew.
Yeah. I suppose the like how unusual. It's like
but
yeah,
yes,
how you do this in public places? I know. Oh goodness, yeah. I try anymore.
Yep.
I try not to take credit for those kind of things. It's like yeah, I'll be in some place because I do. It's like I know if I'm in a certain phase of mind, and it's like if I get too close to I'll say public computers, you know, or like, you know, the cash, the electronics, cash registers, is like, I have, you know, all of a sudden people, you know, tick, 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 until I get up there, and it's like, all of a sudden something goes haywire with their machine, and I go, oops, and so I, you know, and I'll crack a joke about it, and I go, oh, man, I'm just standing too close to it, I knew, it's me, I know, you know, and they just look at me and laugh, go, no, it's, you know, something, you know, blah, 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 it's like, okay, sure, I sidle off about a foot or two, and it just comes right back online. And see, it says, you know, okay, sure, you know, no problem.
You're getting a reputation.
Nope. Nobody knows the difference because I'm cracking jokes about it. It's like, nah. So I stay out of those public places now. Once a month, I get
but
to go.
More and more people. More and more people are having that now, so they're just going to have to get used to it. You just happen to be the first in your neighborhood.
Something. No, I've been doing that for years. I used to crash. When computers were younger, I worked for there's the university that I worked for that I attended, and it was back in the day before they had online stuff. So they hired people, you know, every go around to, you know, to register people and whatnot for classes. So I always had trouble with the computers, and it's the it got to the point where the gal who hired me, you know, she'd stand behind me and say, "What are you doing?" And I'd say, "Okay, this is it." And she says, "Yes, that's right." And I go, "Tick," you know, to hit enter, and the whole thing would just like bink and crash. And she'd go, "That's really strange. Here, let me try it." You know, and she'd sit down and, you know, she'd do the exact same thing. You know, she'd get back up online. She'd do the exact same thing. It'd go through for her. And it's like after this happened for some, because this would go on for like, you know, they had like 10-day registration. After about the third or fourth day, she started looking at me and going, "What is with you and the computers?" And I was just like, of course, back then I didn't know. See, I didn't know I had that effect on electronics. I was like, I don't know. And she says, "You're doing something to the machine." It's like, I don't know. I have no idea.
Well, our electronics are wired different anyway, you know, in our brains because of who we are.
Right, right. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
We put off a signal that they can't really measure yet with science.
Oh, really?
But it's, mm-hmm. but it's picked up by everything electronic. I remember giving a reading to my brother-in-law's girlfriend one time. We were standing too close to the coffee pot, and it totally went out. It burned out right then and there. It wasn't even running, but there were sparks. And like, oops, too close to the coffee pot. Yeah, I get used to having to buy a lot of new electronics once you start really getting into your powers, people. Trust me.
You know, and that's such a bummer for me because I love kitchen gadgets. I really do. And it's like, I mean, I get them. And I do, I mean, I will say the ones that have, I'll say, learned to work with me, I finally got computers. Computer technology finally, you know, caught up enough to where, like, the computers I have now are pretty good. I don't crash them anymore like I used to, or I should say as often as I used to. But I don't know if it was making a deal with the machine. It's like, I don't know if I talked to it, blessed it. I don't know what I did, but I was kind of going, you know, electronics angels, I got this request here, you know. It's like, I really need a computer. So whatever they've done to tweak the computers that we work with, they work fairly well most of the time.
I think we learned how to not affect them.
Now
I really do.
Okay, so tell us how to do that. Now, how do you do that? How do you not affect the equipment you work on?
Well, you just set your intention. You set your intention that your energy is going to stay at a nice, comfortable level for whatever electronics you're near. It's just sort of a respectful thing, like not invading someone's space. Your energy is not going to invade the space of your computer, telephone, whatever.
Oh, okay. Kind of like shielding you, kind of like shielding your computer then, in a way, sort of, or something like that, or just okay. I will try that. Thank you. That's, I learned something new today. I love that. My mom would do that.
Well, it's just like we're little kids on the playground. We have to learn not to run into other kids when we're playing. Well, we have to learn not to let our energy run into our electronics.
That's, yeah, very good point. Very good point. Like that. Yeah. Let's see. I'm gonna return to a previous thing here because you know, when you were saying about, you know, people cutting people off, you know, cutting ties and that kind of stuff. Because one of the things that I had learned was, of course, it's more from a healing modality. Is that people want to cut them off. If somebody got attached and cut up, if you act like you treat them like they're a root vegetable, and pull them out of you, because I had more. I've had several of the healers that I've worked with say that a lot of our diseases, our diseases, come from the fact that people did that very thing. They cut ties, and they did not go through and pull out the residual, you know, hook or whatever it was that someone had, you know, tapped into them with. And that was the cause of, you know, it would depend on where they hooked them to, you know, either in their back or in their heart or wherever. And people would have physiological problems wherever someone had tapped into them. So does that, I guess I'm kind of wondering is like, you know, does the violet flame take care of that? Or, you know, when you cut something, it's like, how do you get those residual things out so that
Well, again, there's the intent part of that. You can use the violet flame to burn everything off, the resin, or you can just imagine it goes away when you're cutting the ties. If you can envision it, you can create it. So if you can envision that actually everything that's hooked into you, all those weed roots, I'd like to think of, are being out of the ground and they're not going to affect anything anymore, then you're fine. There's so many different ways to do the severing of ties and clearing the resin as well as shielding. And everyone needs to find what works best for them. What I gave earlier was just one example. So.
Right. Okay. So there's more ways of, because I know that's going to come up. So are there more ways of detaching, shall we say, detaching someone who is sucking energy from you? Than just cutting things. Is that, you know, are there more, you know, is there, how many other ways are there of detaching someone? Because I know people, you know, especially if it's family members, you know, it's like, how do you cut a family member off? You know,
I call it being the casual observer. The way to cut the emotional ties with somebody in your family that is really bugging you, but you need to be around them all the time, is to play like you're the casual observer. This way you take your emotional situation out of it and make it objective rather than subjective. You do not engage them in any arguing. You simply observe their behavior like you're just trying to figure out who they are and what they're doing. Pretend like you're taking notes so that you can report back to your home world about what this creature is like. And when you do that, you take yourself out of the emotional intensity of a situation.
Gotcha. Okay. That makes a lot of sense.
You still respond to them in a sensible manner that would, you know, wouldn't look at you and go, why is she staring at me like that? Why is she mentally writing notes? You would still interact with them, but you're not coming from the emotional defensiveness anymore.
Right. What about the case, because we've had several of these, where people who have called in and they literally have been like, I'll say, you know, the black sheep of their family, the scapegoat of their family, you know, where they've, you know, literally they will take a verbal beating on the phone. And, of course, my response is, why did you listen to it? You know, it's a phone call. Hang up. You know, but people get stuck on there. It's like, how do you help them get unstuck from feeling like they have to listen to someone who is verbally berating them over the telephone?
Yes, and you know what? If they're sitting there listening to it, the next time the caller calls, they're going to expect to be listened to again. You need to stop the behavior, and you need to do that by invoking your inherent integrity and politely telling them, this is not serving either one of us. What you are doing to me is making me feel helpless to help you, because all you're doing is venting, complaining, maybe even saying things to me that belittle me. And when I am belittled, I cannot come from a good place to help you or anyone else. I will not tolerate this behavior. I do not deserve this behavior. Until such time as we can speak as equals, I will not be engaging in any more of these types of calls.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I mean, and it's not even a case of that. It's a case of, you know, it's not even the person venting to them. You know, it's people actually blame them, say, you know, well, it's because of you. I mean, and you know, the people might be literally hundreds of miles away, and they'll get on the phone and go, it's your fault that, you know, Aunt Susan did blah, blah, blah to this. And they just go off on them and they blame the person. You know, and you just kind of sit there and go, they're blaming you, you're 1,000 miles away, and why did you listen to this? You know, it's like, so how do they, you know, how do you get them, you know, again, unhooked from that, you know, the blame thing? It's like, because people get, and I just call it, it's conditioning. I mean, I see it as conditioning. People get conditioned to listen to bad things and bad things about themselves. So how do you help somebody get out of that mental rut of going, you know, to a place where they can hang up on them, or to a place where they can do, you know, just like what you said, it's like, you know, how do you help somebody get beyond that and say, you know, you don't deserve the blame, you know, because that's, I mean, it
first
is.
First, they
it's
have
really
to love themselves.
Thing. Okay.
Everyone has to love themselves enough to allow themselves to be respected and to draw the line when the respect is not given.
Okay. Okay.
That's the first step. They have to identify why it is they don't love themselves. And then they have to go through a process of reframing those parts of themselves. And that is, again, like the 7 stages of grief. First, we have to recognize that it's happening. And then we have to come to acceptance with it. And then we have to heal that. So if they're allowing things to happen to them by other people, then it's because they're not honoring themselves. They're not loving themselves enough to stand up to it.
Right.
That means that there's something about themselves they don't like, and if they can identify that, figure out what it is they need to do, figure out that whatever it is I don't like about myself, I'm perfectly okay the way I am, or if I don't like this aspect, I need to find a way to change it, positive change. And then once you are happy with yourself, nobody's going to burst your bubble because you won't let them do that. You respect and love yourself too much to allow anyone to do that to you anymore.
There you go. Yeah, because that's, I mean, because, you know, we see a lot of that, I'll just say, with, you know, in abusive situations where, you know, a child has grown up and they literally, they're verbally abused from the time they're small. They're programmed. So it's like, you know, they get to be adults and they're still hung in that same programming. So, you know, what kind of, you know, I mean, how do they get to the point where they even recognize, you know, because I've seen people just kind of shrug it off and go, oh, that's just the way my family talks to me. And it's like, really? Really? It's like, you know, I mean, how does it even start? You know, where do you even start with that? Because it's like, how do you get, you know, someone to recognize that's not normal behavior? You know, somebody blaming you all the time or blaming you as a child and you growing up with that, it's like, that's not healthy. You know, because to them, it's like, you know, I mean, it's kind of like whatever you grow up with. You know, if you're a sponge and if you sit in vinegar, you absorb vinegar. You know, so how do you know until somebody comes along and like wrings the vinegar out, you know, puts you in some fresh water to try to help you out a little bit? It's like, how do you get people to recognize that?
That's called reframing. Reframing is where you take all of your past incidences where things happened to you that you would not have chosen for yourself and come to an understanding that when you were still on the other side, you and your soul family members agreed to play things out like a play, like a television show, and there was a purpose to it. You learned about physical and mental abuse so that you could learn how to forgive those who did this to you and learn how to help and relate from personal experience those you would meet later on in life having gone through similar or the same as you. When you see that it was just a lesson, it was just something that was being played out, your soul is always going to be not only just all right, but always in perfect condition. It's only the body that we worry about. We really don't have to worry about that either, because what is the worst that could happen? We become our purest self. You take away the fear, and you look at the situation in an objective manner and understand that these things were played out in agreement. It makes it easier to forgive the person having given the abuse to you, and also to understand that now, having had the experience, you will be able to relate to and help someone else down the road to reframe their own experiences.
Cool.
Does that make sense?
I like that. Yeah, that does. It's like I'm kind of playing, you know, also like devil's advocate, because I'm kind of sitting here and listening, you know, kind of going back and forth, and like I say, I'm replaying some of the conversations I've heard, you know, and people kind of go, but how can I do this, you know, it's, and people get stuck in the how-tos. How do I do this, you know, how do I, and it's kind of like, you know, riding a bicycle. It's like, well, you know, what you know, how do you learn to ride a bicycle? Well, you can put the training wheels on, you know, until you kind of get a sense of where your balance is, you know, and then when you get a sense of where your balance is, then you can take the training wheels off. It doesn't mean that you're not going to crash and burn every now and then. That's what helmets are for, and wrist guards.
Mm-hmm.
But you pick the bike back up and you know, and you ride on. Or it's like, you know, you learn to ride horseback. You know, if the horse bucks you off, you get back on, you know, that kind
right.
of stuff. So. Yeah, so I'm just kind of.
But you also learn how to do things in a way that won't cause you to crash or fall off anymore.
Right. Yeah. Or your skills get better. You know, it's like you look at the people who do the trick riding. You know, it's like or do the you know trick riding or you know those bicycles that you know they have like the skate parks that kind of stuff. And man, you see, you know, these kids get out there and it's like you know they do phenomenal stuff. Of course, now they've crashed and burned a lot learning how to do some of those. But after a while, their balance gets better. You know, if they don't totally hurt themselves, you know, and they learn how to look for things, how to land, how to make that landing. And it's like, and how to come out successful instead of, you know, crashing and burning and untangling themselves, you know, on the cement out of their bikes, you know. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
It's practice, you know, and it's like, and like I said, it's not to say they're not going to have crashes and burns as they go. But the thing is to pick themselves up, you know, dust themselves off and keep on going, right?
Right. This isn't just Earth physical school. It's Earth gym class in many ways. We have to learn to develop a variety of skills to play the game of life.
Right. Oh, goodness. Next topic. Okay. Yeah. I'm kind of sitting here kind of vision and that kind of going, yeah, this is, you know, kind of integrating this. I'm shuffling my little mental cards here and going, yeah, this is, you know, this is real good. This is real good.
What are some of the other, so what are some of the other, I'll say earth issues, you know, what are some of the other things we need to learn? I mean, I know this is going to sound really silly probably, but, you know, if we recycle, renew, reuse, reduce, it's like, you know, are those all positive things? It's like, you know, what can we do? And actually I'll pick on our town a little bit. It's like, what can we do to help get, you know, recycling? Is that, you know, is that something we really need to be doing, or is that, you know, kind of a waste of time? Or it's like, you know, what is a good positive thing we can do in terms of our earth resources, you know, to help some of this? Is that a step in the right direction?
Well, the first step, in addition, well, actually recycling is very good, is to get free energy. No more gasoline powered, no more electric, no more. We need free energy to power vehicles, to power our homes, to power our devices. The Star family has been trying to get it to us. But guess who's
Nikola
holding
Tesla,
up the works?
100 years ago.
The government, the military.
So we have
to put pressure on them. Stephen Greer stated very clearly, you know, that we just need to leave the Pentagon behind and move forward. And if you go to Sirius Disclosure website, you can also get the movie Sirius. It's been on DVD now for a while.
I guess they spell
that will give you the whole story
of
how this has been coming about and what our CE5s are, what our purpose is about getting our star family to work with us to overturn this hierarchy that we've got going on the planet right now that says you have to do it this way, you have to do it that way, even if it's totally raping the planet, we have to do it this way.
Right.
So if we can get zero-point energy going, it's an energy-type thing. It deals with
so
the basic...
So I know it's not S-E-R. I was going to say, I know it's not spelled S-E-R-I-O-U-S. How do you spell Sirius?
S-I-R-I-U-S. Just like the Sirius star system.
Cool. Okay.
Seriously.
And is it just... Right. Is that just www.sirius.com? Is that where we go to look for that, or what is the actual site?
Okay, there's a variety of ones that you can go to. There's Disclosure Project. It's a .org, O-R-G. And then Sirius Disclosure as well. Stephen Greer, you can search his name and find a variety of sites linked to him. S-T-E-V-E-N-G-R-E-E-R. Another place that's really good to talk about experience and what we're trying to do together is www.etletstalk.org. There is a community map over there. You can meet up with people if you'd like to do the global monthly CE5s together. You can actually get together and meditate and call upon them. There's a forum over there. You can discuss your experiences, ask questions.
Okay.
So be sure to check that out.
Okay. I know something else I want to ask about, too, is and I saw one of these maps, like, oh, man, years ago, and I would love to know how to get a hold of one. But it was called the Ley Lines. It's like, can you talk to us? We got about 7 minutes here, just you know, FYI. But it's like, what are the Ley Lines? And I think it's L-E-Y, right? Ley Lines of the Earth.
L-E-Y,
what
yes.
are they? No?
They're the nervous system of Mother Earth.
Okay, cool, okay. So what, you know, how do we know where they're at, and where can we get, you know, maps that reflect them? And do they move? Are they kind of like the same? Are they in the same spot, or do they shift like, you know, like magnetics do?
They're anchored in the sacred sites, and we talked about the Giza pyramids as being one of them. Glastonbury mounds are another. There are a lot of them that are in Mount Shasta, and various places all over the planet. Anywhere you have sacred sites like the Mayan temples, for example, you have them there. Anywhere you have pyramids, not man-made recent ones, but the old ancient pyramids, you're going to find them. And they're discovering more and more places. There's also one in our Bermuda Triangle where the glass, they call them glass, I know they're crystal, pyramids are at the bottom of the ocean. I happen to live right near one, and I believe you do too, Kelly.
Probably.
One that runs through Idaho, up from Arizona,
and into
between Alberta and BC.
Okay.
Now, where does that go from? I mean, where is that anchored to? Does it go like north south? Does it go, you know, do they go like east west, or is like, you know, a little
ours
bit of both?
Ours kind of runs a little bit north northwest down to south southeast, and there are anchor points everywhere. I live right next to Jug Handle Mountain, and because I do, I anchor it there. We are the light workers. Okay. We're the anchors. If we're near a ley line, our very presence, and we don't have to do anything, our very presence is an anchor point. Our energy, what we put out, our thoughts, our feelings, our emotions, goes into that energy ley line. It's like a nervous system, but it's also like a bloodstream. What you put into it flows.
Gotcha.
So the light workers on the ley lines, and even if you're not on a ley line, you're still putting out into universal consciousness everything that you think, do, feel, and that also helps with raising awareness in the planet. People may not know where it's coming from when they're awakening. It's coming from everywhere.
Right. Wow. So everything, and I know there was a guy, let's see, I've been meaning to look this book up. It was Gary, I think it's like Schwartz or something like that, but I know he's a professor down, he was down in Tucson. I think he's, you know, probably still there, but he literally put his professional reputation on the line, and he did, he proved, beyond a shadow of a doubt, he proved scientifically that they're, you know, about mediumship, about, you know, there being life after death. I mean, he did, you know, hours and hours and years and, you know, whatever I'll say experiments, you know, that kind of stuff, and, you know, using people, you know, that were known, you know, whatever. And he wrote this book. The Dacon thing is about 2 inches thick, but he talked, there's one of the things in the appendixes, I think it was, where he talked about literally what we think, you know, even though every time we think a thought, you know, it generates a spark, it generates an electrical, you know, impulse. And he said it literally goes out into the universe, you know, billions, trillions of miles. I'm going, that's kind of spooky. It's like to sit there and think, you know, everything that we're thinking is being broadcast. It's like, yeah, doesn't that make you want to watch what you think?
Absolutely. And why do you think the Star family has decided to make their presence known yet again in humanity's history? It's because so many people are distressed and they're needing help and they need understanding.
Right, right.
They're answering our distress call.
Yeah.
Earth is a pretty marble, and it's a nice place to live, and we shouldn't destroy it. We shouldn't turn it into Mars.
Oh, yeah. You know, and I'm going to touch it. Okay, we got a couple minutes there. On the Mars thing, because I've been seeing bits and pieces, you know, on the Mars stuff, and they're thinking now Mars used to have an atmosphere and used to have water and stuff, so it's like, does anybody really know, you know, that we can, you know, document, or, you know, what I'll say theories, because I don't think we have any documentation, but what is a theory? What in the world happened to Mars?
What I was shown back in 2003 is that originally Mars and Earth were a single planet. An asteroid came and split them apart, and life began on Mars first. And Mars did exactly what we're doing to Earth right now. And this is our chance not to repeat that mistake.
Oh, my. So did all the inhabitants, I mean, did they successfully, obviously, you know, succeed in
going to the next nearest planet and starting over, yes. And with the genetic modification that our star family gave us, we were able to advance a little bit better and a little bit more. But we had to kind of start over from scratch.
Wow. Okay.
That not makes, bring that technology makes with us.
Not bring technology. At least not right. Well, supposedly the Atlanteans, I think they had technology beyond what we have today. You know, it's like I think we've probably lost more technology than we've actually gained in some ways. So.
Yeah, I was there. I was part of that. And I'm sorry. That wiped out the planet then. It's a good thing it was only just that continent. But,
Right.
Everything was carried over to Egypt, and we started yet again.
Started again. Wow. Well, we're coming down. We got about 10 seconds left here. It's like Tell us real quick, you know, where else to find you at, because, and thank you so much for coming on and being our impromptu guest this evening. I really appreciate it.
Oh, no problem. Find me in Unseen World Group and Unseen World on Blog Talk. Unseen World Group is www.facebook.com/groups/LS Unseen World. And be sure to check out Unseen World here on Blog Talk as well.
All righty. We sure will. Well, thank you so much. And, you know, how that Blog Talk thing goes. So we will see you again. And thank you so much, Linda. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you for having me, Kelly, and thanks to Jan in the chat room for all of her hard work typing.
I'm posting. All righty. Well, we'll talk with you again. Thank you so much.
All right. Bye.
Bye.